This is a Get Serial podcast. You can check out more Get Serial at syn.org.au and at Get Serial on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram.
Get Serial with Ben,
Tom
and Bram
on Sin.
Ooh, yum.
90.7.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Circus Extravaganza live in Melbourne, introducing Ben Holt, the awkward funny man, along with Tom Denham, the strong man, and our amazing lion tamer, Bram. You'll be dazzled with craziness, silliness, lunacy, madness, and more great fun here, presented by the Get Serial podcast on Sin. That's right. Welcome back to Get Serial podcast. We're here, Tom. We're live at the Cirque,
and we have another amazing guest with us. We're very privileged to have another member of the real life circus with us, Boris the Clown. Boris, do you have anything to say? Well said. Well said, Boris. Very touching. Thanks for coming.
Yeah. I mean, this is crazy. This show we just did before we went to the circus, 4 interviews.
It felt a little bit 3. Like a circus in itself.
It was nuts.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
It was really good, though. We all kind of ran off the energy and hit the ground.
Yeah, I felt like everyone that came in definitely brought their A game as well. They were very keen to have a bit of a chat with us, which is always nice.
Yeah, and we kept them on for a little bit, which was cool.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. That's right. You know, we had a few other topics that didn't make the air simply because it was more important to keep these interviews going.
It was
going.
A really big morning.
Yeah, it was a huge morning. So I guess the bombshell that was dropped on the program, Tom, you will not be joining us live on air next week.
No, I'm going to be away in sunny Neerham. 4 hours out of Melbourne, so that'll be good fun. But I'll post a little sneaky, clippy dippy for you guys to hear, and for all the listeners at home to hear who are feeling postal about me not being there.
Yeah, I'm sure plenty of viewers will be upset. We'll miss you, Tom, but it's only a week. I think we'll be able to cope.
I think you guys will manage.
You'll have to let us know how we go.
We actually had quite a few bombshells drop today as well. We also discovered April's not going to be here next week.
I know. Oh. Horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible.
Feels like the Get Serial Tuesday family is slowly slipping away.
And the other bombshell that took place this morning when we all said g'day and walked in the studio is that this shaving game that we were going to play cannot go on because Bram had a real good shave and Tom had a shave.
Did we explain that?
What do you mean?
On air? Why that happened?
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
We'll find out in the podcast.
Absolutely. I didn't explain mine, though. So, I actually started a new job this week. Had a few trial shifts. My mum works there and sort of tried to convince me to get my beard shaved, which I did because, you know, I want this job.
I don't care what those guys want you to do on the radio. You're going to shave your beard.
Yeah, pretty much. Thing is, I'm not sure if, like, it was actually just the dress code of the place or if my mum just wanted an excuse. But I saw a waiter there with a full beard after I shaved.
Oh, that would have hurt.
Yeah.
So is the beard coming back or
possibly
you're going to have to think about it for a little while?
I'll have to think about it. I'll have to stroke my chin.
It's funny that you said
I don't have a beard to stroke.
In the meantime.
It's funny that you said that because that happened to me in another workplace where I thought, I should keep the beard away from this place. But there were like 3 or 4 other guys there that had beards. So I thought, maybe my beard is more welcome.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think there's as much of an issue with the whole appearance thing as long as it's neat.
Yeah.
You know, if it's like crazy.
You've got a nice haircut, though.
Yeah.
Did you go back to the Chinese restaurant?
I see. Because, they weren't.
They were really worried about
you. They thought I was stressed. Yeah, I should. I should pop my head in. And yeah, you know what? I might do that.
And you go, just so you know.
I might do that today. I got time.
Don't buy anything. Just go in there and go, just so you know, I'm okay. Then, run out.
Yeah, I listened to what you said. It's okay. You know, the really weird thing, when I got the haircut the other day, really random, the hairdresser's like, I'm going to be on the chase.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, so she went through the process, and it was really interesting what goes on for a chase audition. They ask you 100 million questions, and then they want you to just stare in the camera and just keep randomly talking.
That's
for
funny.
As long as you can. Anyway, they really liked her, and they've put her, she'll be on.
Bit of a fun fact for you, the new Doctor Who companion, Bradley Walsh, was one of the characters on The Chase.
Oh, really?
On the UK version.
Oh, there you go.
That was... it's really weird. That was his only thing that he did.
Yeah.
He hasn't really acted in much, but he's done that.
We're about to go to the podcast, and you will see that Tom and I got in a bit of a heated argument early on the show, but we've made up.
Still
now.
Feeling a bit postal about it, but we'll be okay.
But you know, Tom, due to my actions on the show this morning, Tom's actually going on a week's stress leave, which is why he won't be on the program next week.
Yeah, I'll be seeing some people who'll be able to help me out with that, including right. the Doctor Who Club of Dandenong.
That's right. Those loyal Whovians. Yes, Tom?
Now, we didn't get the opportunity to talk about this during the actual show because we're so busy, but gentlemen, what are we looking forward to in the week?
Okay, I'm looking forward to a few things. The Download Festival lineup tomorrow. I can't wait. It's going to be awesome. And if Judas Priest are on there, I'm going. Done. Yeah. 100%. Ooh. Celebrating 50 years of Judas Priest. That'd I mean, these great. Guys are getting old. Helford's like mid-60s now. Anyway, bought the new Tomb Raider game. Can't wait to play it eventually if I can find time. And just catching up with a few friends and the sneaky kebab, Tom.
Nice. I am going to a Australian Writers Guild session or event tomorrow, and I'll be seeing an event in conversation with Sarah Dollard, who wrote for Being Human, Neighbours, and Doctor Who. So it's going to be great fun. I'm performing at a spoken word evening at the 1812 Theatre at 8 p.m. on Friday night, which will be good fun.
But we can't make that because we'll be at the Toff watching Parkville.
Yeah. Absolutely. And Lance Peel will also be there too, who you will hear later on as the show progresses
in a couple of weeks. Bram, what are you up to for the week ahead?
So I'm actually catching something that's on Sunday, and it's sort of curated by a friend of mine, Aretha Brown. She's pretty massive at the moment, actually. Nice. It's called Baldwin 2.0, and it's a night of spoken word and music, and it's out in Williamstown. It's raising funds for the Indigenous Literacy Foundation.
Oh, very nice.
That's
you
really
can
cool.
find information about it on Facebook. It's on at 7 p.m. I reckon check it out if you can make it.
There's so much going on in Melbourne this week. Blake, where do you sit? What's on for the week?
Well, now I've got a really busy week coming up, I guess. I mean, Thursday night, I'll go and catch your sister's show at the Workers Club.
At the Workers on Thursday night.
Which is going to be really exciting.
Hopefully I'll be there too.
It will be good to see how she goes in the live space, because she's very fantastic in the studio space. So I can't wait for that. Friday, I guess I'm just going to, come off of not much sleep because I'll be going to Essie's show the night before.
It's a little late.
But that's okay. I'll just sit back and I'll just chill out and enjoy the preliminary final weekend. And then Saturday is the more important game personally for me as I watch my beloved Eagles hopefully go through to another granny, which will be...
Best of luck there, Blake.
Go on, you Eagles.
It'll be good.
Yeah, he's a little nervous, but...
Very, very nervous, very strong Melbourne.
But in the meantime, we shouldn't have to worry, because when we're at the circus, it's always lots of fun. And we should just sit back, relax, and see all these amazing people like lions, tigers, and bears, oh my, just going away with oodles of entertainment.
Some say it's the greatest show in the galaxy.
They do indeed.
So check out the podcast right now as we move to the program that we just delivered. We hope you enjoy it. Plenty of interviews, a lot of good stuff. Thank you.
Get up!
Get out of bed!
Get coffee!
Get juice!
Get toast!
Get some form of condiment!
Get interviews!
Get news!
Get music!
Get entertainment!
Get naked!
You're listening to
Get Cereal!
Hello, Melbourne.
Hey, you're Melbourne.
To Get Cereal Tuesday.
Morning, Melbourne.
Rise and shine.
My voice is really weird.
No, it's not. It's beautiful, man.
Oh, thank you. My name's Bram.
I'm Tom.
I'm Ben. Hello.
And we're Get Cereal. For today, at least.
Yeah, for Tuesdays.
For Tuesdays.
We've actually got such a packed show lined up today. I do not know how I'm going to get through it.
We'll find a way. It's absurd. There's over four interviews on this 3-hour program.
O'Reilly.
We've got Blake running us coffees throughout the show, so it's all good.
Oh, thanks, Blake.
Thank you, Blake.
You're my favourite.
Okay, so for the hour, we've got why creative subjects are important to the education system. We've also We're also going to be talking Tom out of Doctor Who.
Wait, what?
You didn't hear that.
I didn't hear about this.
Yeah, you didn't. You didn't. We've also got some memorable stories from last weekend we'll be talking about. And we've also got, like I said, we've got so many interviews for the show. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's funny. It's almost like, I feel like it's parent-teacher interviews.
Yeah.
Like, everyone's going to be lining up and come in.
Next, please, Mr. Hall.
Well, you know, it actually kind of, it kind of makes sense because it's sort of towards the end of our run here.
Absolutely.
If like, it's parent-teacher interviews, does that mean we get, like, tea and biscuits complimentary while we wait?
Well, unfortunately, I didn't organise that part, but I was thinking, you know, they'd come in and be like, look, he's been on his phone too much recently and rah, rah, rah. But no, we're going to interview
police around that.
Plenty of artists, including Parkville, Essie Holt. We've also got
Lambert no relation.
Lim,
actually, yes, relation.
Reviewer.
Mm. Yeah.
That's going to be good.
It's going to be great.
And finally, as well, Lainey Chait from good old Electro Girl. We're going to be talking Fringe Festival here this morning as well.
Super exciting.
Plenty happening in the program, but for now, Tom York, Suspirium on Get Serial Tuesdays with Ben, Tom and Bram, Sin 90.7.
Sin acknowledges and pays respect to the owners of the land on which the House of Sin and Studios stand, the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nations. Sin also acknowledges and pays respect to the elders and traditional owners of the lands, our content and reaches, as well as the radio stations which we broadcast from across the country.
Last night wasn't all that great because I didn't sleep as much as I should have, but luckily there's a fantastic song by Grace there. That was last night. You're joining us here on Get Serial Tuesdays with Ben, Tom and Bram, Sin 90.7.
What a morning it is so far, and it's really good to be in this studio. Despite the lack of sleep, we're all buzzing with activity in here because we've got such a packed schedule for today, which is really exciting. But fellas, I really want to stop and ask this. I think this is something that's really important to me and my development, but I think it's important for everyone. Everyone who goes through school and education and the kids of today. I want to ask you guys, why are creative subjects important to the education system?
I think it's the world we live in now. Everything's becoming more creative, and marketing is everything now. I mean, you know, you walk around the city, you walk anywhere, a million posters, plenty of screens now everywhere,
and it grabs you.
Yeah, absolutely. It's in my opinion, it's one of the most important things.
Sort of on a similar bent to what Ben is saying. So much of our world, so much more of our world involves some sort of creative aspect. Well, it involves a creative aspect much more than people realize, I feel sometimes. Even sort of thinking about the most, like, STEM-y stuff, a lot of that does involve some sort of creative pursuit, especially if you're going to be doing some sort of research. Like, that's literally creating. Yeah. Blake, you want to chime in?
Yeah, morning,
Hi.
Boys.
Morning, Blake. Morning, Blake.
You're in the studio.
I know. I pop up at the most...
Come back from getting us coffees.
He's back.
What a bonanza.
Always pop in at the most strange times. It did something I think affected even me back in the school, back in the Stone Age, what I feel like to everyone in this room.
The Stone Age. It was the Ice Age.
Yes. And, we really lacked, I believe, in those creative stuff. So we didn't really have like things that like media studies and stuff like that. We had drama and stuff like that, but we didn't really, I don't think our school was a sports school. So fair enough where the main focus was sport, but like things like media and stuff like that, I never got to do any of that kind of thing in high school, which I think I really missed out. Like a lot of my creative things I've done ever since I've gotten out of high school and really since I moved to Melbourne.
That makes sense.
So the thing I'm trying to wrap my head around, because Tom and I went to the same high school, and we had a million different things, theatre, drama, media, all that
dance,
kind of good stuff.
Yeah.
So what would those subjects have been replaced by at your school? Just more sport?
I guess more sporting stuff, or like sporting-based, like sports sciences and stuff like that.
Right.
Oh, my school was actually fairly different as well. So when I first started out, it was super science-y, super STEM-y, like sort of chemistry, biology, those were, yeah, those were paid the most attention to, but they did still have some sort of thriving arts department. But I feel like I was there for the 4 years that the arts department really started to decline. And the year after I left was when they decided to experiment with combined year 11 and 12 classes, which is just a horrible idea because there's such a big leap. There's such a big learning curve between year 11 and 12 for a lot of those subjects. Yeah.
I think looking back at my schooling, I was such a creatively bent kid. And I think that was really important developmentally for me when mathematics once upon a time wasn't my strong point, that I had something for myself that I felt like I could do well. Mm. And the more I got into that mentality, the better I became at those core subjects. And I think with kids and young people who I've worked with as well, who feel like they can't do school because English is overwhelming, mathematics is overwhelming, you got to remember formulas and things for maths and science as well, it's really good that they can own something like the arts, like the music, where they can go, this is something I can do well, and the more I practice, the better I'm going to get. And art and music is a really good launching pad for that and gives kids the positive reinforcement that they need to be better people, but to be better positive thinkers as well. And I think that's why it's so important. But it allows us as well, as we think, just about life, allows us to think about things in a different way. Rather than being completely logical and completely black and white, it's important that we think with a little bit of creativity, bit of empathy, putting yourself in someone else's shoes, but also thinking about things creatively and making multiple situations out of something.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think everyone's, you know, simply just good at maths or good at science. It definitely opens up the spectrum a bit more. And, like yourself, it benefited you definitely in the early stages, as you mentioned.
Absolutely. And it benefited you as well.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Mm. It made me go absolutely crazy. It's a glorious morning. Macklemore, the smash hit Glorious, we're going to play it because no other radio station ever has, apparently. Featuring Skylar Grey, Get Serial Tuesdays, Ben, Tom and Brad.
Sin, 90.7.
That was Linker by the Cranberries, and before that we had Glorious by Macklemore featuring Scarlet Grey. You're listening to Get Serial Tuesdays with Ben, Tom and Bram. Tom, guys, you've got something that you want to bring up with us.
I am super stoked because we are weeks away from the new season of Doctor Who. Here we have a trailer. Tune in.
All of this is new to me. New faces. New worlds. New times. So if I asked really, really nicely, would you be my new best friends? Right. This is gonna be fun.
I get absolute shivers seeing the visuals for that trailer because it looks so new, so stunning. I'm just really excited for this fresh start. Stephen Moffat, he was really good for the last 7 years, but we've got Chris Chibnall in and Jodie Whittaker as a doctor. I'm super excited. Ben, what are your thoughts?
Can I ask you something? When do we stop talking about Doctor Who on this show?
You know what? I have tried so hard to keep Doctor Who to a minimum, and this is the first week one.
Hear me out, right? I've known you, what, 15 years? You've been a fan of it that long?
Yep.
Here's what I propose, and you're going to do it for me.
Yep.
I don't want you to watch any of the new series until, like, I don't know, July next year.
Nah, not happening.
No, well, when do you give up the ghost? I mean, you never stop talking about it.
It's just that addictive.
But what is it? What is it about it?
I don't know. There's this odd charm about it, similar to anything that's British, like James Bond, yeah? Has this great charm about it, which I love as well, but Doctor Who just has that timelessness.
Bram,
am I
asking too much here? Am I going crazy?
I'm going to have to side with you on this one, Ben.
That's two of us. Blake, get in here. I need all the help I can get. Does he just talk about Doctor Who too much on this show?
Quite a bit.
Yeah.
Maybe a fraction.
I'm sorry, Tom. We've all voted. You're going to have to stop talking about it. And I don't want you watching any of those new episodes till next year as well.
Look, I think that is disrespectful to the art of Whovianism. I think it is disrespectful to the Who community, and I think it's disrespectful to me. I have already pre-booked tickets to see this thing in cinemas.
Well, I'm going to be ripping those tickets up right in front of your face.
My girlfriend and I are going to see it, and we're going to enjoy the whole season from start to finish.
Well, I'm sorry, but no, you're not.
No, no. It's happening. I'll tell you what, you know what, I've had enough of this hodgepodge. I'm leaving the show.
Are you serious? I wasn't even... Is this real life? Bram, did this just happen?
Yeah.
I think we lost Tom. Yeah. Look, he does talk about it a little bit too much. I do get a little sick of it. And I thought, you know, I'm going to finally call him out on it. And I did. And it didn't really go all that well. Unfortunately.
Yeah, no, I feel like you were a tad harsh on him, though.
Yeah, I might have been... I think the tone of voice is what set him off.
Yeah.
I wasn't going to really rip up his tickets, but, you know, it's funny.
It's funny watching him, yeah.
And I mean, my goodness, like, even if he wasn't able to watch it for a day, I think it would... It would almost kill him.
Hey, boys. Yeah, sorry to interrupt. Apparently, we have a Mr. Barry... Denner or something like that, the president of the Doctor Who fan club.
The president of the Doctor Who fan club is calling up. Oh, put him on the line.
Yeah, no, put him on.
I think he should be on the line now. Hello.
Barry, good morning.
Yeah, g'day. How's it going?
Yeah. I'm well. Look, our producer Blake mentioned that you've called up. You got something to say.
Yes, so, well, I just wanted to give a little bit of context, but I've known Tom Denham for the last 5 years. He is one of our honorary members of the Doctor Who fan club, Andy Nolan.
Yes.
Long-time member. We respect him. He makes fan audio dramas, which are amazing. We rave about them. We listen to them on repeat, as well as his selection of favorite Big Finish audios.
Right.
And we think what you have said is really disrespectful to the Doctor Who community, and we would like you to publicly apologise for this abhorrent behaviour.
Now, I shouldn't be laughing. Barry, can I ask what part of my speech offended you?
Well, to be honest, we're really lucky to have Tom Denham a part of the club, and I think anyone that abuses him in that way... that says he shouldn't watch Doctor Who. See, Tom Denham's got this medical condition where if he doesn't watch Doctor Who, then his heartbeat goes a little bit out of rhythm. So we need to make sure, like, for medical purposes, that he gets his proper dosage of Doctor Who on a weekly basis, whether that's exerting information and random facts about Doctor Who or taking in and watching classic episodes of Doctor Who, particularly Tom Baker and John Pertwee.
Now, Barry, hang on, you're rambling just like Tom does when he talks about Doctor Who. I think he can correct his heartbeat just by drinking more cans of Mother. which is what he always likes to do.
No, that's bad for him as well. We've been talking to him about that.
But look, here's the thing. I'm all happy for anybody to be a fan of something. It's just he never stops talking about it. I thought I'd bring it to the table.
Look, I'm
this
a listener
morning.
Of Get Serial. I love the show. Love Tom Denham. Love you boys as well. You do such a good job.
Harry,
I am so proud of Tom, because it was only in week one that there was a topic about Doctor Who, and not since. He's tried so hard. I mean, doing counselling sessions with him and his psychologist and myself, and he has worked so hard to get to this point to only make one Doctor Who reference per show, and I am so proud of him. I'm like a father to him.
Well,
don't think you understand.
Look, I'm not going to disagree. He is improving. But I still feel like there's a bit of a mountain to climb. So, Barry, look, I'll take into account what you've said. I apologise if I offended any Doctor Who fans.
Oh, thanks, Ben.
And we will work through this with him, and we'll get him back to normal before we know it. So,
you guys are legends. We like the Facebook page, so keep doing what you do.
Oh, thank you. Barry, we thank you for joining us on the program this morning.
No worries. Yeah. See you later, boys.
Watching is what Tom does a lot of when it comes to Doctor Who, but Watching is also a song by ESG. It plays now on Get Serial Tuesdays with Ben, Tom and Bram on Sin 90.7.
Sin 90.7.
Yes, reliving a bit of License to Kill. bit of Tim Dalton, Tom, you can never go wrong.
Never wrong with Tim Dalton.
Love my James Bond. Those tracks there, Watching from ASG, Summer Holiday from Fritz, and License to Kill by Gladys Knights. Oh, my word. So good. You're joining us here. Morning. Hope you're well.
Hello.
Get Serial Tuesdays, Ben, Tom, and Bram on Sin 90.7. We're having a chat about what we got up to on the weekend. My hand is raised. I don't know why. I'm already talking.
Ben's just excited.
Yeah. Just really quickly. So, I decided I love this band Tesseract. I'm going to go to the Melbourne show, going to go to the Sydney show. Awesome. Thanks for asking. Really enjoyed it. So, here's the thing. On the Saturday, I said to myself when I was booking the flights a month or two back, I said, do I want to go in the afternoon or do I want to go in the morning? I couldn't make up my mind. So, I said, you know what? I'm going to go in the morning. It's going to be a little tough because I got a late night the night before.
But it'd be worth
it. Oh, yeah.
So, anyway, get to Sydney Airport, arrive, and then go, cool, I'll just get the train into the airport. As I'm walking to the steps where the train is, there's this gentleman that catches my eye on the right, and there's the band loading all their gear at the airport.
Oh, wow. That's
went
amazing.
Up, met all the guys, got some photos. So that was a nice little bonus meet and greet with the band. So
nice.
That was pretty cool. And the weather was beautiful.
That's awesome.
First day there, 31, nice and warm, shorts, good stuff.
That's awesome. That's a great weekend. I think that tops mine. I went on a holiday to Sorrento, which was nice to have a little bit of a getaway with some good people, played some good things. Funny, we were going to do a beard loss game this week.
Yeah, can we just discuss that for a second?
Yeah.
So, the idea that we put in place last week and on the podcast was that we're going to play this game where someone's going to get their beard shaved. And it sounded really funny and comedic. I turn up today, Tom's beard is non-existent. Bram's is completely gone. Like, he did a great job. Wouldn't have even known he ever had one. And I got a much needed haircut. So the only person who looks normal in this studio is Blake.
There's something in the water here at Sid.
Something's going on.
There's a story behind this. I was playing a game called What Are the Odds, where you say, what are the odds that I'll do this? And you say a number, you say 1 in 5, and you count down. And if you say the same number, you have to do it. And if the other person says a number that adds up to that number, then you both have to do it. And I said, no, my friend said to me, what are the odds that you'll shave your beard? And I said, 1 in 4. And I said 2, he said 4, 2 added up to 4. So we both had to shave beards.
Oh, so he had to get rid of it too.
He had quite a magnificent beard too. Oh, wow. Red beard.
Oh, that's crazy.
I'm going to butt in once again.
Blake!
The odds game is a very, very fun game. It also can be very bad, though.
Yeah.
So, it was only 2 years ago now, I did it with my friend. We're just at a local establishment, and I said, what are the odds of you doing stand-up comedy here? And I think he said 30 or something, and I didn't get him. And then he decided to do it to me, and with my luck, it happened, and I did stand-up comedy.
Oh, good on you.
But my friend also has my face tattooed on the back of his leg. I will show you guys in this next song break.
Yeah, that's a little
amazing.
Worrying.
Yeah, when I was about to head over to this lovely place in Melbourne, I go to my friend as a joke, what are the odds of you getting a tattoo that reminds you of me somewhere on your body? And he goes, I'm sporting. I'll give you 20. got him on 17. Didn't actually believe him because fair enough. But he used to live up the road from me. So he comes and picks me up and goes, Blake, we're going. I'm like, where are we going? Tattoo parlor. I'm like, you are not. You are not doing this. And he went along and did it. Funnily enough.
He kept his word.
He did.
Absolute madman.
Funnily enough, the guy that actually did the very wonderful tattoo was an old school friend of ours, so which made it even more interesting.
Oh, that's great.
Okay, I've got a story. I've got a pretty good one. It's a pretty wholesome one. So last week, my housemate brought up the idea of having a banana split party where they would get ice cream, and the ice cream that they got was this really weird ice cream that had pieces of donut inside.
Ooh, yum!
It was great. So they did that. Mm. They made chocolate fudge with peanut butter and. It was incredible.
Hungry.
Toasted some walnuts to go along with it. Had some glacé cherries. It was super fancy, and we had some friends over, and we just sat by the heater. Ironically enough, but to be fair, this was while it was raining.
and we just stayed inside and had banana splits, and it was a great time.
Yeah. Where was my invite? And where was...
Yeah.
You were over in Sydney.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Although, in saying that, if I lived at your house and this happened every night, I'd be fat.
Yeah. Yeah, you really would.
Wouldn't be able to get into the studio.
I mean, that banana split was actually just our dinner.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Wowee, how all crazy. Right.
Yeah.
We're moving along. Hate me.
You're listening to Sin 90.7.
Yum-o.
Sin 90.7.
Oh, my goodness. Welcome back to Get Cereal Tuesdays with Ben, Tom and Bram.
G'day.
How you doing? Good, quickly, thanks. Shout out to some of our loyal listeners, Josh Taylor. Morning. How are you, sir?
G'day, Josh.
So anyway,
nice and shine.
Let's have a chat about this Tesseract concert really quickly. Very, very, very briefly. A guy from New York did the lighting design. Heaps of interesting different colors. They used blacks so cool. and blues and even some really nice greens really nicely. The band are just very, very skilled musicians. And it puts you in a bit of a trance. But they played 14 tracks. They played about 90 minutes. It was great fun. Let's just play a song while we can, because why not? I saw them in Sydney and Melbourne, two sold-out shows. So this is Tesseract with Juno on Sin 90.7.
Get up!
Get out of bed!
Get coffee!
Get juice!
Get toast!
Get some form of condiment!
Get interviews!
Get news!
Get music!
Get entertained!
Get naked!
You're listening to
Get Cereal!
Good morning, said the man to the dog, but the dog looked up and said, what are you talking about? It's the afternoon. But nevertheless, on Get Cereal, it is morning indeed, and it is morning in Australia, so good morning to you nonetheless. We have a packed show, like a pickpacker's crate, and we're going to have oodles of poodles of fun. We have an Ivy with Essie Holt coming up in the show, which is going to be fantastic. We are looking forward to having her here live in the studio. Ben has a little bit of a bone to pick. He has a rant to make, so we're going to hear that later on as well. And what the flippity flop did I dream about last night? That's something else we'll be looking forward to in the show as well. But for now, we are entering into a world where I don't feel like dancing. You're listening to the Sinner Sisters on here on Sin 90.7 with Get Cereal with Ben, Tom and Bram. Get Cereal Tuesdays.
That was Galia Beat by Actress.
That was something else.
Yeah, yeah. It's sort of inspired an idea for the rest of the show. We're actually talking about it because I'm known for my very eccentric music picks.
It's a good music pick nonetheless.
Oh, thank you so
yeah,
much.
Yeah, I was thinking
it means
that,
a lot.
I was thinking that for the next couple of weeks on the show, we have a part, and Blake agrees with me, he's nodding, that it should be Bram's Rave Cave. And he chooses one or two rave songs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To kind of really just pick up our morning.
Yeah.
I reckon that's a good idea.
Yeah. So make sure to tune in for that. And make sure to hit us up on socials. We've got Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. We've even got Snapchat for some reason.
Whoa.
under tag Get Cereal for all of those, we post quality content. And so do the other days. Ben. Hi.
Yes. Hello. Good morning.
You have something to say, Ben.
I do. I got to get this off my chest. Look, I, like most common folk, attend various events and I'm seen in heaps of different places, which means naturally I'm going to meet a lot of different people.
Yeah.
I have no issue meeting any kind of person, having a chat, and look, I've got enough interests that I feel like I can pretty much get along with anyone. My issue is you have a 5-10 minute chat with someone, you both have that key interest, example music has been the last few people that I've met and we've talked about music because we're at gigs and so forth. And they, after 10 minutes, they're like, hey, let's be Facebook friends. And then they want to add me on Facebook and my heart just drops because it's like, no. You're still, like, a stranger to me. Like
You see, Ben, they want to stay in touch because they think you're such a good person.
But I just don't feel like I have time to keep in contact and message all these people. Like, at the moment, I almost need a receptionist just to deal with how many messages you send me. or any of my other friends. So I need to pay them from 9 to 5. Yes, yes, Tom.
I finish work at 10:30 and I open my phone and I had 26 messages.
So, yeah, exactly. So, and all of a sudden, you add more random people. Like, I mean, I met a few people at Sydney the other day. I'm never going to see them again, most likely. And it, look, it's
yeah,
not
but it's still cool to stay in contact.
I don't know. Bram, help me out. What's
I don't know. I feel like, personally for me, even if I only meet someone once or whatever, I feel like I do like to stay in contact with them if I feel like they're either A, cool, or B, useful to me, if that makes sense.
Useful.
Useful, yeah.
You never know when
it's useful to know them.
Ask
right,
for
right,
favor.
Right, right.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Yeah. Look, there's nothing that hurts from having more contacts. I'm just saying it gets a little stressful when you have all of a sudden 15, 20, 30 people messaging you like every day. It's a bit much.
Mm.
It's a little bit much.
I'm okay with it.
Yeah. Blake, I need your input on this. Do you appreciate when after meeting someone for 5-10 minutes, they ask to be a Facebook friend with you?
You know what? I'm not even too sure. I can't even remember the last time that's even happened to me, to be totally honest.
Right. It's like the bane of my existence.
I haven't had an interaction like that. Well, not for a while anyway.
Yeah.
Sorry, couldn't be much help there.
April, I need your input on this as well. I'm so torn and conflicted here. April, if you've met someone for 10 minutes and they ask to be Facebook friends, yes or no?
I think it depends on the situation, because there's some people that I've met and instantly I know that I'm going to want to see them beyond this 10 minutes.
Right.
And so those people, definitely yes. But otherwise, not sure. Perhaps if that's the only time you're going to see them, not really worth it.
Yeah, I agree. Especially when you're interstate and you probably won't see this person again.
I've had a few, funny story. I've had a few one-hit wonder Tinder dates. And there have been a few times where months later we wouldn't have chatted, but I just get a random friend request on Facebook. And that's probably
Whoa.
The only time that I just say,
oh, no.
Look, no.
Yeah. I'm still thinking about you. Do. So anyway, don't get me wrong. Look, I'm more than happy. Anybody wants to come up to me in the street, let's have a chat. Let's have a chat. I'm happy to chat to anybody. Mm. Yeah, I think it takes time to become friends with someone over Facebook. Crosses, telepathy, Sin 90.7, Get Serial Tuesdays, Ben, Tom and Bram, you bet. This intro is really long and I'm going to stop talking. Thank you.
Sin 90.7.
Hey now. No, morning, Melbourne. Hope you're well. You're joining us here on Get Serial Tuesdays with Ben, Tom and Bram on Sin 90.7. Two tracks there, Telepathy by Crosses. That was a great project. They only ever made one album. It was good
really?
Stuff. I
That's
loved
cool.
it. Make another one, please. And San Cisco, When I Dream as well. Stay tuned. We do have an interview coming up with Essie Holt. And April will have us covered with the news as well. But, gentlemen, the Laneway announcement, it gets, it's underway this morning about 8 o'clock, 8:15. What do we think's going to be on it?
I reckon we're going to have the B-sharps on there.
The B-sharps?
Yeah, the B-sharps.
Well... what I think, there will be like at least one gimmick act.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because Falls Festival had Toto. So,
yeah.
So I'm thinking like, man, what cheese can they get for this one? I mean, otherwise, I don't know.
Possibly Filter.
Oh, Tom, enough. you know I like them. He keeps having to go at me about Filter every week.
What about the Nicholas ultimate Cage gimmick act, him. Deion Wood?
Yeah, that's a point.
Yeah.
The South African one.
Yeah.
For sure.
Quite
there you go.
Right.
I like No, the thing is now, there's so many of these indie festivals. Is there even anything left?
There's probably something that's like next level indie that is like indie and we don't even know about that.
I don't know. I feel like that's just local bands.
Probably.
Yeah.
They probably have their own festival that we don't even know about.
Yeah, well, I've been to sort of a few every now and again. I was actually at one this weekend. It was at the Gasso. It's run by this band called Hexdebt. They're pretty big in Melbourne at the moment.
Yeah, cool.
The festival's called Thick Wave, and it's not just music. They've got a bit of other art there as well. So there's spoken word. There was a pinata there for some reason.
Oh, great! I want
to. Yeah. I'll hit you Pinata, up. I'm sold. I'll hit you up when the next thick wave is happening, and I'll hit other people up in the studio when it's happening.
What's with when people do shows at the Gasso? They dress up the whole place. Like I saw Eilish Gilligan there not long ago.
That's a little bit of difference.
Yeah, and she dressed this whole thing up with plants, and it was a spectacle. It was like I was in the jungle listening to music, although Tash Sultana wasn't there either.
You could say it was well-rooted.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah. Finally, I think the best Laneway lineup was probably the 2013 or 2014 one. Remember like when Lord had just broken Massive?
Yeah.
And they had Lord there, Churches, a bunch of good stuff. It was fun. Hopefully, they bring that stuff back.
You know what? If there's going to be a gimmick act, I think it's going to be you two.
Oh, I think they're too big.
Yeah.
Mm. Just a little bit. Oh, who knows?
That's why it's going
to
be the
gimmick. I don't think they fit with that market. Anyway, we're off to the news with April now. And stay tuned. Get Serial will be back in just a moment. Interview with Essie Holt. It's coming up. You bet.
Thanks for that, April. So we were just chatting in the studio before about Laneway and how the lineup is being announced today. Was it?
Yeah, I think yeah, 8 o'clock, yeah. 8:15.
Yeah, this morning. I was just wondering if there were any acts that you sort of, you know, have a bit of an inkling as to like whether or not they'd be playing next year, or if not, just acts you'd like to see at Laneway.
Well, I'm actually not really, like, I don't have much knowledge about festivals, which is why I find it quite interesting, like, hanging out with you guys on this show, because I'm learning about a lot of new bands.
Yeah.
So, well, I mean, to go check it out this year.
I don't know, it's just, I guess for me, I'm not really that big of a festival person myself, I'm just more into the music.
Mm-hmm.
And whenever I do go to stuff, it's normally stuff that's, like, concentrated specifically in Melbourne.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever really been to any sort of major festival, actually.
See, that's the problem. I take these festivals, like, a little too seriously. Like, I'll look at the playlist and I'll listen to one song from every artist that's on the festival, and then I'll weigh up if it's worth going or not.
Oh, that's a good idea.
No, it's a little over the top.
No, it's not at all. I mean, if you're going to be putting in, like, money to see a festival, like, make it worth it.
Want to know you're going to enjoy it.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is that they're generally not super cheap, and I just want to make sure there's enough music there that I enjoy. Otherwise, I'll be kind of sitting on my hands and
just doing nothing.
Yeah. I like that trick.
Be a little bit bored. So, anyway, here we go. We're going to keep the music happening this morning on Get Serial Tuesdays with Ben, Tom and Bram. Passing out on the Pakenham line, Barefoot Bowls Club plays right now on Sin 90.7. Welcome back to Get Serial Tuesdays with Ben, Tom and Bram. Hope you're well. Hope you're doing good.
I'm doing well.
Tom and Bram, we've got a special guest in the studio with us right here, right now. It's Essie Holt. And Essie, hello. Thanks for joining us on the program.
Hey, guys. Hey. Thanks for having me.
So, you've had just a lot of success, definitely early on in your career. 3 songs, almost had 500,000 streams, which is pretty mind-boggling. And I guess I'm just curious, like, where do you see that and how does it kind of further motivate you to keep creating music and so forth?
Thank you. It's been really nice. I guess putting out the first song was kind of testing the waters as to the sound and how people were going to respond to that. And it was nice when it was connecting because that was a sound that I'd kind of been working on for the last couple of years and feeling really confident about. And I guess just kind of refining that as each single goes on.
Now, some of the music, you've written with Lanx, you've also written with Mark, who's Fractures.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of curious, what strengths do they have and what do they kind of bring out of you when you write with them?
They're incredible songwriters. I really admire them because they can wake up on any day and be able to write a great song, whereas I kind of feel myself, creativity sort of comes spontaneously and, you know, kind of getting into that habit where I'm not forced to write a song, but where I'm actually, you know, I'm going to write a song today with them has been really good. Yeah, it's helped a lot.
That's awesome. You've recently toured 10 shows around Australia with Lanx and Ting James Organ, and you've got the Better For You tour coming up as well. What can we expect from that?
Yeah, well, the Lanx tour was so great. We got to play the show back-to-back for a whole month, which was really fun and feeling really good about the show now. I've got my own show coming up on Thursday. It's at the Workers Club, and I've got some really cool supports, Sania and Charles opening for me. I did the Lanx tour as a duo, and this headline show is going to be as a full band, so got some live drums happening for this one, which I'm really excited about, and, just testing some songs from my upcoming EP.
Awesome. Yeah. Cool, cool. It seems like you've actually had quite a lot going on recently. And you got quite a bit lined up as well. You've toured with quite a few pretty big acts, including Eilish Gilligan and Northeast House Party. If you were to play a dream bill with three other artists, who would they be?
That's such a good question.
We're kind of curious here in the studio. Mm. Yeah. Yeah,
it's one of my favorite questions to ask.
Yeah.
It's a good one. And you don't get like an instant answer either. Takes a little while.
I actually reckon I could answer that like instantly.
Okay.
I thought about this the other day, actually. And it'd be probably my three favorite female Australian songwriters at the moment, / for the last few years. It's Megan Washington, Missy Higgins, and Emma Louise. Oh, I love them. I think they're incredible. So that'd be a really fun lineup to be a part of.
Would you say they're
really
your
cool people as well?
That's awesome. Yeah. Would you say they're your musical inspirations?
Definitely, yeah. Washington and Missy Higgins are incredible, and growing up were huge, huge part of, you know, influencing my sound and making me want to be a songwriter. Yeah.
Cool. So one of the reasons we're here today, we're talking about the Better For You tour that's happening at the Workers Club on this Thursday, so be there, you won't regret it. Just wondering if you can tell us a bit about that song. It was the newest single you've released, and kind of what it's about.
Yeah, I started writing it about a year and a half ago. I used to live in Brunswick, and I had this really nice little room at the front of the house where all this light would kind of be flooded in, and one day I was like, I'm just going to sit at the piano, and I just started writing this chorus, which was exactly how the chorus is now. It was initially called Effigy because there's a lyric in the second verse that says effigy, and I was like, that's the coolest word in the song. I'm going to call it that, but I think Better For You is kind of a more appropriate title for the song. And then I finished it with Mark Zito, who is Fractures, and it was really great to sort of get a production bed happening and having that sound influence the rest of the writing, which is that's how I love to write now, having sort of that musical bed and then these sounds that trigger things in my head as opposed to me just sitting at a piano playing some chords. Yeah, it's been good.
And this is one track that's going to be off the upcoming EP. Now, is that for next year's release or?
Yeah, I'm working on it at the moment. I want it to be 6 tracks. I've got 5 tracks locked down, and I'm thinking I'm probably going to write a 6th, another one. Like, there's a few in contention, but I reckon I'll have another one. And, yeah, that's going to be out hopefully early next year, I'd say, aiming for March. That's you can awesome. Hold me to that.
We look forward to it.
Cool.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, it's interesting with release dates because you never go January because it's holiday season.
Everyone's away.
Yeah.
March is pretty good. That makes sense.
Yeah.
And finally, I'm just curious, You and a lot of other artists, like you've played with Angie McMahon, you've all kind of come up at the same time. Is it quite amazing just to see how everyone's kind of being really successful together?
It's so nice. Yeah, I think we've all been doing it for a really long time and really stuck to it, and you know, we've kept getting better, and it's so exciting, especially with Angie, just to see her have the success that she's having at the moment. I saw her last week at the Forum, and I think she sold it out, and it was just, it's really overwhelming to see, you know, her 12 months ago playing smaller shows and now, yeah, her having her own massive audience to play to. It's really cool.
So cool.
Yeah, it's lovely.
And in the studio before, we were mentioning Laneway. Was there any Laneway acts you would be maybe curious that might be on the bill at 8 o'clock?
Oh, who do I want to see up there this year, next year? Oh, can I come back on that one?
Yep.
Yeah, sure.
We'll come back to it. Well, for now, we're going to hear Essie Holt's new single, Better For You, right here on Get Serial Tuesdays with Ben, Tom and Bram, Sin 90.7.
G'day, you're listening to Get Serial on Sin 90.7 with Ben, Tom and Bram. We have Essie Holt in the studio with us, and we just interviewed her. Exciting news about her tour, and that was just her song, Better For You, which is wonderful. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Oh, thank you so much.
For those tuning in and who would like to see your show, where can they book tickets, and where is the show as well?
I'm playing this Thursday night, which is coming up really quickly. It's a bit nervous.
Exciting.
It's a bit exciting as well. it's at the Workers Club. So from 8:30 p.m, there's Sania and Charles are my amazing supports, and then I'm on at around 10:30. You can grab tickets on my website, which is seholt.com.au.
Not to be missed. And you also have a really good live presence as well, so I definitely recommend that people go as well.
Thank you.
Now, yeah. There is something we were just talking about in the studio that's quite funny. You have an Instagram famous dog.
I do.
Can you tell us about that?
He is my favorite thing in the world. His name's Leonardo the French Bulldog.
Oh.
And he's three now, but when he was a puppy, I was posting a lot of photos of him on my own Instagram. And then I kind of thought maybe I should just start his own so that I'm not spamming my followers with dog pictures every day.
Yeah.
Which I still do basically on a daily basis, but it's fine.
Who doesn't?
Yeah. So my dog's got his own Insta and he's got like over 30,000 followers now somehow.
That's amazing.
Yeah. He's pretty cute. That's what I think.
And awesome. Didn't he get shared by, was it Shay Mitchell or someone
yeah,
famous?
Shay Mitchell from the show Pretty Little Lies.
Yeah.
Which I've never actually watched, but at the time I think she had like 10 million Instagram followers. She's got a lot more now. And she reposted him, so that helped a little bit with his followers.
Do you feel a little obligated to go watch Pretty Little Lies now?
I kind of do, yeah. That was a few years ago and I still haven't, though. Maybe one day.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
Now, there is another coincidence that we're tossing and turning about, talking about on air, but there is a relation in this studio. Do you want to allude us to that?
There is. Ben is my brother.
Hello.
Ben Holt, Essie Holt.
That's right. Didn't see that one coming, listeners.
<Yeah. laughs>
Nah, yeah, that's right.
It took me by surprise as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You had no idea, did you, Tom?
No,
I've
I didn't.
I've only known you 15 years.
No.
Nah.
Well, actually, Tom and I went to school together as well.
We did,
so
yeah.
Whoa.
Same year as my nice sister as well.
Yeah, I was in the same year as
Ash, if you're listening,
Ash,
hello.
Hey, Ash.
Yeah, it's a small world, isn't it?
Mm,
everybody's
it is.
Yeah, connected. Welcome to the Nostalgia Hour.
It is, yeah. We're going back down memory lane.
Yeah. It has been, in all seriousness, being your brother, it has been quite exciting to see how far you've gotten with your music so far.
Thank you.
And I think there'll be more exciting times ahead.
Yeah.
Hopefully a festival as well.
Festivals is definitely the goal. I would love to start playing some festivals really soon.
Yeah, so I guess that's another question I had just in terms of just some goals you've got moving forward. A festival would be one of them.
Yeah, well, I want to get the EP out. I want to play some festivals and then, yeah, I guess the ultimate goal would just be able to have people come to a show in any city of the world. That'd be pretty cool, I reckon.
Yeah.
Have people come to Berlin, New York.
It'd be amazing.
I mean, that's a pretty big dream, but that would
be almost bizarre, wouldn't it? Like, any city, it's just complete strangers. And
nowadays, the sky's the limit.
Yeah, and they all know the words and so forth. So
yeah, that'd be cool.
It's been really interesting, though, because of the radio coverage some of the songs have got, to see it in the live space, and when the song starts, some people know it because they've heard it on the radio.
Mm.
That's always, and that's becoming more and more obvious now, like every show. So
yeah, I'm getting that a little bit with Magnetize. And now Better For You, which is really cool.
Yeah.
I wear these ears when I perform, so the audience is pretty dead sounding to me, but occasionally I'll take an ear out and I can see people like interacting with it and sometimes singing as well, which is really cool.
Yeah. No, it's awesome. Well, we wish you the best of luck.
Thank you.
For your show on Thursday. So check it out. Essie Holt, the Better For You tour. It's at the Workers Club this Thursday, 20th. Be there. It'll be good fun.
Now, some people say I'm a bit of an egotist, but I disagree. But one person described me as this charming man, and that's the name of this song by The Smiths. You're listening to Scene 90.7.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to Get Serial Tuesdays with Ben, Tom and Bram here on... Oh, hi, Tom. On Scene 90.7. Two tracks there. We had Better For You by Essie Holt. We thank her again for joining us for the interview, and then a bit of Sycamore as well, which are really unknown band out of America. They should be bigger, but they're quite good.
They sound very good.
Yeah,
they?
I very much enjoy them. Let's talk about the footy, because why not? Tom, what was your thoughts? We had Collingwood win, and we also had Melbourne win.
Look, I wasn't surprised about Melbourne. Collingwood, I was kind of also unsurprised about, but it'll be good. If anything, I reckon it would have been cool to see GWS enter the finals.
That would have been more fun, for sure.
And it also would have been cool. A bit of a repeat, but pretty cool to see Richmond in there too.
Now, I can see our producer, Blake, is just absolutely itching to get in on this conversation, so he's going to join us. Blake, good morning to you.
Yes, sorry, boys, I'm just trying to adjust this microphone here. And
it's going really well.
I'm struggling.
Not that anyone can
I'm struggling.
Say,
yeah. It's been very busy.
Yeah.
Sorry, yeah, I'm a massive footy follower myself, and I'm actually going to say I'm quite nervous for next week. I'm very nervous for next week. We're watching Melbourne on Friday night was actually quite scary, and I'm worried, very worried for that. And they have beaten us before. They have gone over to Perth to beat us.
I can just hear it in your voice. You actually sound completely terrified.
The nerves are there.
For those who aren't aware, Blake is a big West Coast Eagles fan.
Yeah, mad West Coast man. And it's actually, Melbourne play very, very well. Their attacking brand of footy and just their intensity, I guess, around the ball. Like Jack Viney, people were scared of him. Apparently, even when he was a kid, people were scared of him. Like some mums would be like, "I'm not playing this week if he's playing," because he just had that presence on the ground, and he's such a hard tackler, he's just a hard player. Mm. And if our midfielders do not either combat it or whatever, we're really gonna struggle. There's one thing where I think we're gonna pick them out is our forward line. We did play him a few weeks ago, about 4 or 5 weeks ago, but we didn't have the forward line that we have now. Our forward line's finally got together for the first time this year, so I guess we'll just have to wait and see. So it's going to be nerve-wracking times, but hopefully we get through and go to the big one.
You know, I'm almost thinking like we can all just leave the studio and you can just talk football for the next hour, because that just seems...
Blake's football hour.
Yeah, he's football mad. The one time we let him on the mic and he's loving it.
Yeah, exactly. I could, but we have way too many cooler things coming up.
Oh, that's right. We've got plenty of interviews coming up. We're lucky this morning. There's just a wealth of talent coming in the studio. We have Electro Girl. Hey, she's in the studio here with us. We're going to be chatting to her ever so shortly about her show coming up at the Fringe Festival. And, of course, Parkville as well, the three-piece. They're coming in at 8:30, so stay tuned. But for now, it's April. April's going to come up after.
She's coming up next. This is Second Heartbeat by Earth Boy. You're listening to Sin 90.7 Get Cereal with Ben, Tom and Brand. Good morning.
Get out of bed!
Get coffee!
Get juice!
Get toast!
Get some form of condiment!
Get interviews!
Get news!
Get music!
Get entertained!
Get naked!
You're listening to
Get Cereal!
Good morning, Melbourne! Welcome back to Get Cereal Tuesdays with Ben, Tom and Bram. Plenty happening. This is an action-packed hour, my word. We've got an interview with Lainey Chait. We're talking Electro Girl, the upcoming Fringe show. So we very much look forward to having a chat with her. Also, Parkville, the three-piece. They're coming in to discuss their upcoming show that's happening at the Toff as well. And Laneway. We're going to talk the Laneway lineup, which will be announced within a minute or so. It's going to be ever so soon. But it's a perfect sound. Whatever. Jeff Rosenstock plays here on Get Cereal Tuesdays. Yeah. Ooh, I feel it. Here we go.
Hi, you're listening to Get Cereal Tuesdays with Ben, Tom and Bram. That was Jeff Rosenstock with Perfect Sounds Whatever. And we've got a guest in the studio.
We do. Yeah, super we do. Exciting.
We've got Lainey Chait performing her show for the Fringe Festival, Electro Girl. Hello.
Hi.
Welcome.
Hi.
It's such a pleasure to have you in the studio.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah. So, just tell us a bit about Electro Girl. About what the show's about, just for the listeners at home.
I was diagnosed with epilepsy at 19, but I'd actually hidden all the symptoms of it since about 14 or 15 from everyone because I didn't want to know what it was. And so it's just a theatrical performance of my journey trying to hide all that from the society and also trying to struggle with my brain so that I could still go out and party. And my brain and I had this relationship where, you know, I would go out, I would want to, because of my FOMO mentality, I would want to go out and party, and she would sort of go, well, all right, but I can't promise you anything the next day. So I turned her into a puppet. And so we're both on stage, my brain and I, having a chat, you know, about my choices.
It's a really creative way of putting it. And it's a really big topic as well. So I guess behind that, what was the driving force for you to make this into a public show?
I wrote a book in 2017 and I self-published it. And then that got some really good feedback. And I thought, do a lot of people read? And I really want to target audiences from 15 to 25. Yep. Because that's when the brain is still actually like doing things that are really important. And at that age, I just ignored all that. And so that did have some effect on the way my brain has, you know, grown into adulthood. So I want to target that audience to explain and encourage that about what the brain actually does and how important it is with your choices. So I thought, yep, I'll do a show instead.
Hmm. So one thing I'm very intrigued about with a serious topic like epilepsy, why did you decide to kind of make it into a comedic show instead of like maybe a more serious type one?
Very good question. Because you can't take life too seriously. And something as serious as epilepsy needs to be put out into society a lot in a different way, because it is, you know, it's nothing to be scared about, and a lot of people don't talk about it. So I figured if I brought it down a notch and, you know, encouraged people to look at it, there's a not necessarily a funny side to it, but what is actually happening is just a brain rewiring. Yeah. There are over 30 different kinds of epilepsy as well, so it's not just one, you know, where we all think, oh, it's that where they're on the floor convulsing and frothing at the mouth stuff. There's so many different kinds, and it's just not talked about. So, and my, you know, my love and passion is comedy, so it was just easy. It was like, yeah, all right, I'm going to turn all these stories into something amusing.
That's great. Have you had any previous exposure to the theatre world or to the comedy realm as well?
Only just stand-up comedy. The last 4 years I've just gone around rooms doing five-minute bits here and there to try and gain some confidence, I suppose, see where audiences like, where you can inject humour into things, and I guess that's been my training.
Lainey, I'm not sure if you've had the same experience. Tom and I, we earlier in the year did some five-minute stand-up, and we thought we were just going to get a lot of common folk that would watch the show, but what you don't realise is it's mostly just in front of comedians. Did you have a similar experience?
Mm. Yes, all the time. All the time. It's really hard. It's really hard to get punters in to comedy rooms these days. Like, the people that work hard as room runners, they get the punters in, but usually it's the same comedians hearing you run your stuff, you know. And, yeah, it's tough. It's tough out there.
It is.
Oh, yeah. Not easy, so.
No, and I was getting a bit bored of the five-minute thing, so I thought, you know, I'd rather, because it's very hard to connect with your crowd in 5 minutes, right, and try and get them on side. So I thought, all right, I'll write a 60-minute show instead.
Yeah, why not? Yeah. So your show, Electro Girl, actually began last night at the Alex Theatre in St Kilda, and it's sort of run is until this Saturday. How was the opening night? Was it great to witness your hard work paying off as well?
Yeah. I've invested quite a lot of emotional energy into this, because it's my personal story.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And Electro Girl was actually a superhero I invented when I was 19. So I needed someone to help me, you know, like superheroes, what do? They swoop in and take you away from trouble and stuff. Well, she didn't take me away from trouble. She just gave me strength to be able to deal with this diagnosis and, you know, not necessarily listen to the doctors 100%, because they're just guessing, really. So I needed to still have my strength with me, even though they're diagnosing me and trying to, you know, I don't know, tell me how to live my life now, you know.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, epilepsy is such a big thing, and I have personal friends who also have epilepsy. What words or advice would you give to people listening at home or people out there who also have epilepsy or know people who have epilepsy?
I think my advice for people with epilepsy is just keep a journal and try and document what's happening around your seizures, and around what's happening around your brain sort of not connecting, because that's the key to being able to perhaps not be on so much medication, if you know your triggers, you know what's, you know, creating all that misfiring. And for people that don't have epilepsy, just be really conscious in the choices you make, you know, because you can't hide anything from your brain. It's a very important organ that we're just not aware of. Everything you think, everything you eat, everything you, you know, you say, all will have. That's why mental health is such a big issue now. We don't realize it, but It's what we're doing to our brains.
It's really relevant, so thank you for sharing. Mm.
So you've touched upon that this show means a lot to you emotionally. I'm just curious, when you got Claire Pickering in to help direct, what was her take when she read the script and how did she kind of help your performance or maybe bring other things to your attention?
Great questions, boys. just really impressed. She saw the fact that, because she's been in the theatre world for 20 years, she'd never seen anything like this before. And so, and because I don't have an acting background, she knew she was taking on a hard task, but she's turned it into gold. She's really made me get into the darkness of some of my stories and really, like, feel it, you know. Because also having to be on meds, you stop it, they just stop your ability to feel and, you know, feel things because they're controlling your brain in a way. So, you know, feelings are a bit hard when you're on meds for things. And so she actually helped me workshop how to get back into my feelings about it all. So, which actually transformed the play into something amazing. So, yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Well, we greatly look forward to definitely checking it all out. And where can we find the show? It's going to be at the Alex Theatre.
The Alex Theatre, which is in St Kilda. If you get on the Melbourne Fringe site and just type in Electro Girl, it's two words, you can find me there and where to come and see. And as you said, it's running till Saturday night, 7 p.m., 60-minute show. But apparently you just don't feel that it goes that long. It's so good.
Oh, yeah, no, time really does fly sometimes. It does. I mean, this show is 3 hours. Never feels like 3 hours.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thanks so much,
Lainey, for sharing everything about your show. And it's really interested us to go check it out. And I'm sure listeners at home will be really interested to hear about it as well.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
So we thank comedian Lainey Chait for joining us here on Get Serial Tuesdays. Her show, Electro Girl, catch it at the Alex Theatre in St Kilda, going all the way through till Saturday. It's going to be good stuff, all the way through till the 22nd. Do yourself a favour. Check out that show if there's one thing you do for the week. My goodness. Let's talk about Courtney Barnett. Her track, Nameless, Faceless, plays here, Sin 90.7. Hey, welcome back to, my word, Sin 90.7, Get Serial Tuesdays with Ben, Tom, and Bram. The Laneway lineup, it did just drop. So let's have a chat about that, why don't we?
Yeah.
Bram, have you got the goods for me?
Blake,
have you got the goods for me? Somebody, I mean, we're all so excited.
We're excited.
No one's even got the lineup up.
I've got the lineup.
Hit us up.
It's a huge, huge, huge lineup, and I'm really excited. I'm definitely going to get tickets for this.
It's huge.
So I guess our headline is Gang of the Youths and Courtney Barnett.
Oh, who we just heard.
There we go. We just heard, yes. We also have A Boogie with a Hoodie. I've never heard of before, but it's a...
It sounds like my kind of boogie.
It sounds like a good time. Baker Boy, Camp Cope, Charlie Collins, Claro, Cosmos Midnight, Crook Colors, Denzel Curry, which is exciting. DJ DS, G Flip, who's also a very fantastic Australian artist, John Hopkins, Jorah Smith, Kian, who's just come off winning his Triple J Unearthed High and is doing really good things. He does a lot of work with Baker Boy.
Wow.
Mansion Air, Masego, Methyl Ethyl. I love Methyl Ethyl so much. Middle Kids, Mitski. Yeah. Parquet Courts, Raven Liane, Rex Orange County, Ruby Fields, she's fantastic. The Skeggs Boys, Smino and What's So Not, and Yellow Days rounding out your festival.
They're also changing venue this year. Well, next year. They're still in Footscray, actually. They used to be at the Community Arts Centre, but next year they're over at Footscray Park, which will be pretty interesting to see. It's a much bigger venue. It's a park. It's a pretty big park.
No doubt it's an impressive lineup.
Yeah.
They have forgotten one artist on there, though. Parkville. Where are they?
Yeah.
I want answers. I need to know.
Oh, me too.
But the good news is they are going to be joining us in the studio just a little bit after 8:30, or they may or may not be watching us talk now. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah.
You never know at home.
But anyway, it's all going to be good. So the Laneway Festival has dropped, and for those who like heavy metal, which may or may not be me, Download Festival is tomorrow, which is great. Let's play some Baker Boy right now. Blake, let's kick it. I never say that. That was weird.
Get it was quite satisfying.
Sin 90.7, Ben, Tom, and Bram.
Let's do it.
Hey, hello. Welcome back to Get Serial Tuesdays with Ben, Tom and Bram on Sin 90.7. Baker Boy there, bit of Black Magic featuring Dallas Woods. Well, I'm learning names on the program this morning, that's for sure, but a massive, massive lineup. Laneway, it just dropped, so there you have it. We're going to be off to the news very, very quickly now. It's with April. She does a wonderful job. We're going to hand it to her again right now. April with the news on Sin 90.7. Thanks very much for that, April. Gee, that strawberries deal was just terrible, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it just seems to keep getting worse and worse.
Mm, yeah.
Who knew something so delicate and delicious could be so painful?
Mm.
I can't really imagine either how it's been done, because it seems... It's like so much effort to put tiny little needles in individual strawberries.
It's too much time wasted, I reckon.
Mm.
Well, they definitely did a good job of it, that's for sure. That is one thing. But, yeah, I shouldn't really praise them over that, should I?
But we have more equally, not equally, but we have better things to be talking about.
Yeah. That's right. We're going to go to a quick song, but we've got an interview with Parkville coming up. The boys are in the studio. They have arrived.
Give some noise,
woo,
boys.
Woo, hey. Ah. Whoa. Oh, man, I can feel it. Can you feel it? Okay, good.
I can.
Anyway, we're going to go off to Jet Fuel Can't Melt Steel Beams. Here we go. Sin 90.7. We'll be back with Parkville in just a moment.
Stick around.
Good morning, Melbourne. Welcome back to Sin 90.7 Get Serial with Ben, Tom and Bram. Camp Cope there. Jet Fuel Can't Melt Steel Beams.
It does feel like we have a bit of jet fuel in the studio this morning.
Oh, it does. Yeah. I mean, there's that many people here. And you can catch Camp Cope at Laneway Festival, indeed. Let's have a chat with... we've got some special guests in the studio. The boys from Parkville, they're here. Hey! Come on, let's make some noise here. There we are. Plenty of energy. The indie pop trio, I like to call, and there's a bit of folk in there as well. It's a bit of a mouthful, but I feel like when you have multiple genres in the one name...
It's a delicious mouthful, nonetheless.
Well, you know you're on fire, don't you? So you guys formed in 2014. As a trio.
Yep.
Congratulations, you're all still together. You should commend yourself because, you know, lineups change.
Yeah. It's not easy.
It's been absolute turmoil for those four.
I go with torture. I think torture would be the word I'd use.
And you've released two EPs, and kind of if we look back at those last 4 years, how do you think it's gone so far?
I think we've gotten a lot better.
Yeah, I hope so.
Because when we first formed, we were just like in high school and we were still learning how to play our instruments. Or at least I was learning still how to play instruments and write songs. So
over time, the performance has gotten tighter.
I reckon we've done like many, many horrible gigs over the years that have gotten us to a good stage.
Well, it's good to hear. Like, it'd be almost awkward if it was like, yeah, we started out really good and then, you know, it all just took a turn. But obviously that's not what's happened.
Now, we have something in common, I've just realised. We're all from us four. Are from the Dandenongs.
Oh, yeah. Really?
Tell us about the Dandenongs. What do you love about it?
Yeah.
I like the fact that in the Dandenongs, you're just too far away from everything. That's a negative, isn't it? That's actually a negative thing.
Most people dislike that. Most people like to be close to things.
Hmm.
It's quite freeing at the same time.
Yeah, no, it can be a positive,
It's nice.
For sure.
I mean, like, just simple things like having to, you know, drive to school each day by, like, driving up a big old mountain. And through a big old forest every day was pretty nice.
It's pretty novel, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm curious with you guys, what kind of inspires you to keep creating and performing music?
Just desire to outdo my bandmates, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, I think we all have like probably a healthy competition with each other, especially Dylan and I, because we like write the songs. So I feel like the steady competition of us constantly trying to outdo one another probably motivates us.
I think that's good, though.
Yeah.
It kind of fuels the band to keep moving forward. Everyone is constantly trying to get better and so forth. Very, very cool. Now, you guys are playing at the Toff, and it's coming up this Friday.
Yes.
There was something mentioned about a birthday bash. Can you elaborate a little further on this for me?
Well, when we first formed in 2014, it was on this same week Like in 2014. So gotcha. We're calling it our birthday bash, yeah.
So the big 4 year.
The big 4 year. Because Michael and I had been kind of doing like open mic nights together for some time. And then we asked Dylan if he could come along and play with us. And that was his first gig.
Begrudgingly, I did accept.
And they've been a trio ever since.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. As someone who does go to live shows every now and again, I'm always interested as to like how the bands... and like whoever's performing generally sense the crowd. So like what generally happens at your live shows, and describe actually just performing live to us, or for the people at home.
Gives you a bit of a
It seems like a kind of a vague question, but at the same time kind of not.
I understand. I think like one of the things about us is, as well as like having our original music and like this being a show for our original music, like we've spent the past 4 years as a band doing a lot of busking and playing a lot of functions. And so I think all those kind of things come together a lot for when we do a live show like this. And it means that I think our songs are really diverse, and we have songs that will give the audience a really good time and they'll be grooving. But other songs that are a bit soft and a bit chilled out, we'll probably try and ask the audience to sing along a couple times. Whether or not they'll be successful
You've got to try, though.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you know, I'm sure people will.
Yeah, it's always good fun when people join in, though.
Yeah, there'll be some hand claps or something like that going on at some stage.
For sure.
Yeah.
Now, we asked this question to most of our guests that we have, and we asked it to our previous guest this morning, Hesse Holt. If you could design your dream bill for who you get to play alongside in a concert, who would that be?
Now, we're going to give you three.
Yeah.
Three artists that you can play with.
Well, there are three of us.
Yeah, maybe we each name an artist. Yeah.
They can all do solo performances.
Oh, sure.
Do they have to be alive?
We're in alive.
They're alive.
Let's make it realistic.
Yeah. All right. Wait, we'll start with Dylan.
Oh, that's rude. All right. I would love... This is a rough time.
It's a lot of pressure.
It's a lot of pressure.
It's a lot of pressure.
Yeah, this is my favorite question.
I'm not going to lie. Like, I am such a devout Radiohead fan that if I was able to be within, 1 kilometer of them...
Good choice.
...at any point, it would just make my life.
Yeah.
And we
played Tom York earlier on in the show.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, because he's composing a score for a film that's coming out later this year.
Oh, cool. Oh really?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a remake of this film called Suspiria. It's from the 70s, and it's by Dario Argento, and it's an incredible film. If you're a horror fiend, make sure to be on the lookout for it.
I'll be behind the couch.
For those who are just tuning in, we have Parkville joining us on Sin 90.7. I don't know how we luck out like this, Tom, but we do.
We're lucky duckies.
Got a great quality band with us. We've asked the question, the dream bill. Now, we still need two more names. Otherwise, you can pass if you can't think of any. But we're thinking, what other two acts that aren't Radiohead would you guys love to play with?
Michael?
Is everyone from ABBA still alive?
I'm fairly certain they are. Yeah.
Because if Mama so...
Mia.
Yep.
Yeah. No, I'll accept that.
Here we go again.
I don't know whether you guys have one more for us or...
I reckon, I'm trying to think, I would say, it's really hard to pick. I think I would have to go with Burt Bacharach.
Beautiful. There we go, they've done it. We've got our three. So let's make it happen. Let's go, Melbourne. Let's make this happen. Also, have to mention, we're talking about your newest song, it's Shining.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tom, I heard this song yesterday. Shout out to Michael. These keys... Mm.
They're pretty good, eh?
Yeah.
And it puts you in such a great mood. If you're not feeling good on Friday night, come down to the Toff and you're going to feel a lot better.
It's the Toff of town.
It is. And Parkville are there, just in case people didn't know. I'm just kind of curious, how did this new song come about, Shining?
Well, how heavy are you willing to get here?
Let's get deep down.
This is a... Yeah. This is a song I wrote a year or two ago about the time when my parents separated, which was a bit of a sad time.
Oh, man.
But I felt a little bit like it's a song for my dad. Felt like he took it pretty hard and kind of disappeared for a while. And it's kind of one of those, please come back. We all miss you. Ah, what a sad note.
And here we are.
But it's universal. It's not necessarily just about divorced dads. It's not. We did have lyrics about divorced dads in there, but we decided to take them out just to like.
If you're not a divorced dad, you are still allowed to enjoy this song. This song is for you as well.
I myself am not a divorced dad, and I thoroughly enjoy the song. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I felt this song was quite uplifting in a sense. So you didn't want to go like too dramatic because the theme of it is quite heavy.
Oh, I'm just very poor at writing specifically. You know, I like to be super vague. So the vaguer the better, if you ask me. And yeah, I think I decided the whole thing worked better if it was an uplifting song rather than a wallowy kind of song.
Yeah, no, that's good stuff. There you have it. We're gonna hear it now. We just spoke about it. This is Shining from Parkville. How lucky are we? My goodness, you're joining us here on Get Serial Tuesdays with Ben, Tom and Bramps in 90.7. That was Parkville you just heard with their track Shining. And the boys are actually live in the studio with us now.
Hello, fellas.
Hello, Ben.
Now, truth be told, gentlemen, I just got a text three quarters of the way through that song from my mother saying she really loved the song.
Aww.
So there you
go.
So
sweet.
My mother's a fan. Yeah.
Tell her that we have a gig at the Toff this Friday.
There you go, Mum. hey, Mum. Come down to the Toff. It's on Friday night.
It'll be good fun.
Now, can you take us through how you guys put that together, like the recording process and so forth?
Well, our good mate, Damien Caffarella, who is a legend, helped us produce it in his little home studio. And I don't know. We just got in there, played a couple of instruments.
Yeah. I think one of the special things about it, I mean, Michael loves talking about how we recorded the keys for that track.
Well.
to be fair, they're great keys. Yeah.
They are. They really are.
No, it was really good because we've recorded a lot of other songs on like a few different pianos. We use like a not very good upright piano somewhere. And then we use like MIDI keys in a couple of other songs, but we won't tell you which. But for this one and a few other ones, we went to VCA and we recorded it on some of like the lovely, lovely grand pianos there. So it sounds really thick and it's just really nice. It's all nice.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
And the final thing I will ask you guys, how do you know when a track's finished? I think that's always that key kind of songwriting question I'm fascinated by.
I reckon when you run out of money is the best.
That's one way to tell, I guess. Yeah.
I think also when we're sick of trying to add new stuff to it, that's probably another
indicator. Just feels like there's nothing left to
really. We just can't be bothered to rehearse anymore, so we'll just say, no, it's good there. We'll just play it like that. Yeah,
very, very nice. Tom?
Well, thank you so much, fellas. Thank you for joining us. It's been great having you in studio, and we love the track, and we hope everyone at home and on the road loves it as well, and hope everything at the Toff goes well for you guys.
Thank you so much. So, Parkville, they're playing at the Toff on Friday night. It's a bit of a birthday bash, four-year anniversary. Five would have been epic, wouldn't it?
It would be epic. But
that can be next year.
That's next year.
That'll be at the Forum or Rod Laver Arena.
Yeah, obviously.
Yeah, for sure.
Take it out at Eddie Had. Now, on the line, last week we had a story battle, and the week before we had a rap battle. But this week we have a conspiracy theory battle. And on the line we have Sarah from Get Serial Monday. Sarah, are you there?
Yes, good morning, guys. How's it going?
Good, morning, Sarah. How are you?
Yeah, good. I'm so excited to give you guys this topic.
Awesome. We won't wait any more tension. So,
I know you might think it's trash.
Not at all.
Because today, guys, your topic is rubbish bins.
Oh. Rubbish bins.
Oh.
Interesting.
Rubbish bins.
Gee, all right.
Yeah.
We can work with that. We can wangle our way into the realm of conspiracy theorism, but we'll give it a good go.
Yeah, excited to hear what you guys are going to come up with.
Cool. Thank you.
Cool. Right. Thanks, Sarah. We appreciate it. Mitski.
No.
Two slow dances. Here we go. We're going to hear it. Playing at Laneway as well. We're in a Laneway mood. Hey, 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 Get Serial Tuesdays with Ben, Tom and Bram on Sin 90.7. So, Sarah was ever so kind to lay the challenge down to us. This is week three of the radio challenge. And, Tom?
Yes?
We're talking rubbish bins this morning.
It's a whole lot of garbage, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
Just like that 90s band.
Yes.
They were good. They were a good band.
I do like garbage.
Yeah, for sure. So, kick us off. What do you got?
Okay, so this is a conspiracy theory about rubbish bins, and not their origin, but their disturbance in the realm of reality as we know it. And okay. There is classified information from the United Nations that claims that this is true. And it is right, you never know, ladies and gentlemen, that this is right before our very eyes in the guise of children's entertainment. Now, we all know Oscar the Grouch from Sesame Street.
Yeah.
That green furry monster that lives in a trash can. He is the guardian of that trash can, and he is guarding something from this world which cannot be let out. But slowly but surely, we are, especially in Melbourne, we are finding this is becoming a bigger issue every day. So, many moons ago in the 90s, if you were a cool kid like me, you would have gone to see that movie, Elmo in Grouchland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So in this, Elmo decides it's a good idea to find his blanket in Oscar the Grouch's trash can, and he finds himself going into an interdimensional gateway into another world, into Grouchland, where he meets all sorts of wonderful furry creatures that are very smelly. but what this is something greater. See, Grouchland, the movie, was a cover for something greater that we are facing as a pest every single day. And that is the ibis. So the ibis is a bird that's festering Australia, and they are literally, there is a David Attenborough documentary about this. They are festering and evolving to pierce plastic, to do all sorts of things, to dumpster dive. And they are coming out of these little wormholes, out of rubbish bins, wheelie bins all over Australia. We are a threat here, ladies and gentlemen, because we don't have grouches. Grouches are slowly but surely going extinct. They are all endangered in Grouchland, and one of the last we have left is Oscar. He is a national icon for America, and that's why he's on TV. But because we don't have grouches where we are in the world, we are getting these ibises coming through.
Just a plague of ibises.
Yeah, and they're just drinking bin juice and just making a havoc, wreaking all sorts of danger across the globe. And if we don't stop this now, if we don't get the grouches back or get a substitute, the ibises are going to evolve into bin monsters.
We're talking conspiracy theories here on Sin 90.7. And Tom, could this possibly be worse than global warming?
This is worse than global warming because the bin monsters will take over. Mm. We will walk out our doors and there will be nothing but rubbish and ibises and bin monsters. And we'll be going, where on earth were the grouches? And we'll be praying to the grouch gods saying, where were you guys? But we've forsaken them. We have forsaken them because we gave Oscar all that rubbish that he just had bad attitude, but he has a hard job keeping all those ibises away. So we need to be thankful for the grouches, look after them, make sure they're not endangered, get them to breed again, and we should have our bins protected. And that is why rubbish bins are the next conspiracy theory.
There you go. You heard it here first on Get Serial, Sin 90.7. Tom, I'm worried because I have to bring it to our listeners' attention. You're actually not going to be a part of the show next week.
I'm not.
At all.
No.
And I haven't told you this, but I'm rebranding next week. Imo's coming in to replace you. So it's going to be Get Serial Tuesdays with Ben, Imo, and Bram.
Look, that seems fair for the week that I'm not there.
Yeah.
I might give your name a little
will be off
preview.
The history books for week 11 of the show. It just will be
It'll scave off the patterns of history.
No, but if you could send us a g'day from wherever you are, we can play it on the show.
I'll be in sunny Neerham, which is way out, 4 hours or 5 hours out of Melbourne. So
wowee,
it'll be good fun. But I'll send a little cheeky message for you guys to play.
Yeah, it's gonna be crazy stuff. So we very much look forward to next week's show. It's a shame you can't be there, Tom, because I think when it comes to these topics, Bram and I are gonna have to think that bit harder, I think.
Yeah. You guys will do well, and you'll have Emo and Blake with you as well.
Yeah, that's right.
True. And the funny thing is, we always do What Did Tom Dream About Last Night, which we didn't get around to this week, but we're going to find What Did Blake Dream About Next Week. And Blake, what are you doing to prepare yourself?
Well, while Blake's doing that, I'm also shocked by the bombshell that our newsreader April isn't going to be with us either.
I know. And I was almost...
I mean,
When did all this go down? Yeah. Like, we've lost everyone.
Yeah, and it's even weirder considering the fact that I was almost not going to be here next week as well.
Just, it would have just been Ben on his own. Ben and Blake. It would have been the BB show.
Yeah, I know. Well, Blake, do you reckon I could have handled it on my own for 3 hours?
Oh, I reckon you'd have been all right.
Yeah, but I think I would have got you to go back and forth.
And sorry, and going back onto what the whole dream thing, while I was trying to pull a microphone around, is I'm going to be eating a whole bunch of cheese. So I've heard over the internet, not 100% sure how true it is, but it gives you eating lots of cheese, like literally filling yourself up with cheese, makes you have weird dreams. And if they're anything like Tom's to go by, it's going to be interesting. I can't wait to sit there and I love cheese, so I'm more than happy to do this.
Cheese mares all the way. If you want to have weird dreams like me, load up with cheese. I don't need to because I am full of dairy.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun show. So we thank you so much for joining us again on Get Cereal Tuesdays with Ben, Tom and Bram. Well, Tom won't be here next week. A reminder, we've got Imo instead. Very much look forward to seeing how that'll go.
Be good fun.
Hopefully well. Gang of Youths, one of the Laneway bands confirmed, Magnolia. Welcome to Laneway 2019, Gang of Views. We'll catch you next week, guys.
All right, see you
later, everyone. See you in a fortnight.
This has been a Get Cereal podcast. Get Cereal, 6 till 9 a.m. weekdays only on Sin.